Hello, inclusionists. It's Tim. This is Think Inclusive. If you're new to the podcast, you may be wondering about that word, inclusionist. What does it mean anyways? Well, to us, being an inclusionist means that you're committed to transforming schools from places where children with disabilities are sent to disability-specific programs, like for students on the autism spectrum or children with intellectual disabilities, or students with learning differences are pulled out into resource or special education classrooms, to schools that include each and every learner and gives them the support that they need to learn, thrive, and feel a sense of belonging in general education classrooms with same-age peers and with the same curriculum as everyone else, even if they need adaptations. Not sure how you feel about all that? Well, we are glad you're here, because on Think Inclusive, we bring you conversations about inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. And it's through conversations that I believe we learn and we grow. Let's get started. This week's guest is Beth Leipholz, an inclusion and accessibility advocate who believes in creating a more accepting world for our children. As the hearing mother of a deaf child, Beth is raising her son, Cooper, bilingually in both hearing and deaf cultures. She shares her parenting journey on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, where she has built a community of more than 1.5 million people around disability inclusion. In this episode, our conversation navigates the intertwining paths of personal narrative, maternal advocacy, and the pursuit of inclusive environments. Beth provides a window into her world as the mother of a deaf child equipped with cochlear implants, touching on the role of American Sign Language in their lives and the decisions that have shaped their journey. Before we get into today's interview, I want to tell you about Bookshare. Are your students reading below grade level? Do they struggle to read due to a learning difference like dyslexia, visual impairments, or physical disabilities? Bookshare is a free ebook library that makes reading and learning easier. Designed for students with learning differences, Bookshare lets students read in ways that work for them with ebooks in easy-to-read formats. Students can access millions of titles, including textbooks, educational materials, and popular titles like Harry Potter and Percy Jackson. Students read with free reading tools on the devices they have access to at school and home. They can listen to words read aloud, follow along with highlighted text, read in large font or braille, and customize their reading experience. Bookshare is 100% free for all U.S. students with qualifying disabilities, and schools through funding from the U.S. Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs. Sign up today at bookshare.org. That's bookshare.org. After a short break, my interview with Beth Leipholz. And for free time this week, a question for our long-time listeners. Could that be you? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Beth Leipholz, thank you for being on the Think Inclusive podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to dive in a little bit.
So Beth, you have a number of things going on. You've got Instagram, you've got your book, you've got, you know, website, you have all these things. Let's start out with, you know, what's the big message that you want to share about inclusion and accessibility?
Yeah, I think for me, when we kind of, you know, we were sort of blindsided by my son's diagnosis. He's profoundly deaf, has cochlear implants. We use sign language. And so it was just a big world of like the unknown. And I think that's kind of been my driving like motivation in sharing our story, is just to kind of make, you know, something that people don't know a lot about more widely known, not necessarily just to connect with other parents, but people who might encounter kids with implants or a deaf person. And so obviously I can't tackle that from every single point that there is when it comes to disabilities and inclusion, but if I can at least make people think a little bit differently, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm. So you said that he has implants, and I know that can be a difficult decision for a family. Was that a difficult decision, or was it, you know, just, you know, walking through that?
Yeah. It was something that was new to us. I, at the time, did not know about a lot of the controversy that can surround cochlear implants when it comes to the deaf community. And so that was something that was new to me to navigate. I think for us, because of where we live, we are in like rural Minnesota, we knew that a deaf school wasn't really an option. We knew that he would be raised in a hearing world. We're very ingrained in this community and didn't see moving as an option. And so for us, that it kind of was a no-brainer once we had asked the questions we needed to ask. But the decision to also incorporate ASL was a no-brainer, because I didn't want to, you know, there's days Cooper doesn't want to wear his implants. We didn't know if he would take to them to begin with. And I didn't ever want to be cut off from communicating with my child. So I think both of those were an easy decision in a way.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm definitely not an expert or have any like any significant experience in, you know, having a deaf member in my family or even students. When I was a special education teacher, you know, I usually supported, you know, learners who were on the autism spectrum or who had an intellectual disability, or maybe had some behavior challenges. So, you know, what is it like just supporting, someone who is deaf, and then, you know, like what you said about taking it implants on and off, like that's like what? Like I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I always say like nobody teaches you how to parent in general, and nobody teaches you how to parent a deaf child who can literally just turn his hearing on and off and when he's mad. so there's a lot of unique situations that I like just didn't anticipate as a parent. And I obviously can only speak to, you know, interacting with a deaf child to that extent. I know deaf adults, but not on the level of my child, obviously. And so, yeah, it's something that is, when his implants are on, when that magnet is connected to his head, he can hear sound. He can hear pretty much everything we hear. It might sound different to him, but it's all he knows. And so, I mean, and when I say everything, he can pick up on like whispers. He sometimes hears things that I don't. Mm-hmm. And same with his verbal language. Like he is amazing at speaking. He actually doesn't even qualify for a speech and language delay, which when you think about the fact that he didn't hear for 10 months of his life is crazy.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of dynamics there that it's like, you know, if he's sick and he doesn't necessarily want to wear them, if he's overstimulated, he'll take them off. If he's mad, he'll whip them off. Like there's a lot there that nobody teaches you how to navigate. And so that's been another place where it's really helpful to have sign language, obviously. Although, you know, when he's really mad, he can just go stand in the corner and not look at me either. So.
Right. So the idea, though, with the with ASL and teaching and incorporating that into your daily life. And if you look at your Instagram, you know, feed and just overall your approach, it's, you know, I use this kind of stuff all the time and just embed it within my daily routine. Is that right?
Yeah. And I would say we've always been very much of the like follow his lead type, like give him the options and let him make the decisions. And so I hate saying it, but like ASL isn't at the forefront as much as it was at one point, just because he simply doesn't prefer it to communicate. He'll use it when he needs to, or when he really wants to get a point across, or with certain words, like whenever he says, please, he'll sign it. But it's not, and then he's just constantly on the move too. He's a very like high energy child. So even as a parent, it's hard for me to incorporate it daily still, because he rarely ever looks at me. And so it's something that we obviously still have, and he knows a ton of it. He understands a ton. He has that in his back pocket, but it's really hard to incorporate daily when he prefers to speak.
Sure. Well, and how old is he?
He'll be 4 in September.
He's 4. Well, yeah. So, and that, you know, obviously could change, right? At some point too. It's just, yeah. But I like what you said about following his lead, you know, and really making it a choice, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why he has such a good relationship with his hearing device, is because we never, you know, forced it on him. And there's something that you'll hear in the world that we're in, where it's like eyes open, ears on, meaning like if they're awake, their hearing devices should be on. And I hated that. Like, I just never, I was like, I'm not going to force this on my child when it's obviously upsetting him or he doesn't feel good. And so I think that's, he knows he has that autonomy, which is why he wears them the majority of the time, because he likes them, but he also knows that he doesn't have to.
So why was it particularly important for you to share your story with the world? I mean, you know, putting yourself out there on social media, it can be a tough thing. It's exciting, but it also can be rough.
Yeah. I did not walk into this eyes open to what was going to happen with our story. I'll just start by saying that. I sort of back up a little bit. I've always been pretty active on social media. I've been alcohol free for 10 years now. And I started sharing that journey when it was kind of unfolding. And so I was kind of, you know, I had thick skin to an extent when it came to like unsolicited opinions and comments about my life. And so obviously it's different too when it's your child. But when I started sharing our journey, I never expected it to really grow beyond like our inner circles. And I jumped on TikTok at the beginning of the pandemic and started sharing there. And I didn't know what I was doing. And it just kind of started growing and snowballing, and other social media platforms followed suit. People were just interested because it was different, and they found it so neat that he could just like turn the world off when he wants to. And honestly, that's something I envy still to this day. I tend to get really overstimulated. He's often the cause of my overstimulation, but I never set out to become like, I hate the word, influencer, but you know, a content creator. Like, it was never even on my radar.
Sure.
It just, people were interested, and it kind of grew from there. And I still am very, very mindful of like what I share and when, because I never want it to be something that's forced or something that like I don't enjoy anymore, because social media very much can take that out of you. But I think it also helps that I'm very, very confident in the decisions that we made for our family. I still get rude or mean comments once in a while, but not nearly as much as I did at the beginning. And for the most part, I just delete, block, and move on, because I know that we did the right thing for us.
Right, right. So Coop is 4, and my dog just jumped on the bed, so definitely going to hear his collar rattling. So Coop is 4, which means I don't know if he's in like preschool or in going to be going to a preschool program, but kindergarten is like right around the corner, right? So have you thought about what school will look like for Coop, and your, like, how will your advocacy be different, if at all, during the school years?
Yeah. So he's a September birthday, so he'll have a year of preschool starting this fall and then another year. Just because he's right on that line of being, you know, going early or not. And I actually am too. So my parents waited for me, and I I really enjoyed being the oldest. So that's what we're going to do. He'll have 2 full years preschool. We live in Minnesota. We are very, very lucky. Minnesota is one of the, to my knowledge, one of the only and best states that has a 0-3 early intervention program through school districts versus like external services. So as soon as we got his diagnosis, they were in touch with us, kind of saying, here's your team, here's your plan. We mapped it out from there. We had sessions with them. Like, we had so much packed into those first 3 years. And I've talked to other people who don't get any of that. They don't get any services through a school district until their child turns 3, which is crazy to me. I mean, that's only the last 10 months like that he would have been getting those services. And so we're super lucky in that regard at all in Minnesota. And then our actual school district itself has been incredible. I was worried, like I mentioned, just being in a rural area and not knowing any other kids with implants. We actually have about 4 or 5 other kids in our district, which for a town of 15,000 is kind of amazing. So our school is really very, very familiar with it, but they've gone above and beyond. His deaf and hard of hearing teacher uses sign language, uses spoken language, makes sure he has access to an interpreter, which he will full-time in the fall. And I'm hoping that that kind of gets him a little more interested in ASL again. And then they've gone out of their way, like equipment and technology wise, there's something called a Roger mic that, or an FM system is another really common term, where the person wearing it, their voice will go directly into implants or hearing aids via Bluetooth. And so they went out of their way to go purchase that for us. And not only for school, but like we take it home. Like it's ours to use as we please. And that's when we started using that about a year ago is when his speech just took off. And I really credit it for going directly into his implants like that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's been amazing because those devices alone are like, they can be $1,800. And it's like, not every family has access to that.
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough that we would have on our own, but the fact that our school district just took it upon themselves and continues to do so is amazing. And I'll add one more thing and then I'll stop being so long-winded.
It's a podcast, so it's fine.
I know. So he'll start actual preschool in the fall and he'll be there 3 days a week in the mornings. But then he'll also have 2 days a week in a Foundations for Literacy class, which is literally a class just for deaf and hard of hearing kids put on by the school district. So there's only going to be, 4 or 5 kids, but they go out of their way to do that twice a week for an entire school year to give those kids the extra that they need. And a lot of them come out, either reading before kindergarten. I mean, which I see happening. Cooper knows all his letters, knows all his letter sounds. He's always been very into that stuff. And I think that's partially because of ASL, just the visuals. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see how that pans out.
Wow. Fantastic. So, just a little story about in the school district I was at previously. Yeah. There's this, I don't know how to put this. So for particularly deaf and hard of hearing students, I feel like as far as inclusion goes, the school districts for the most part, and especially, my previous district, it was kind of baked into what they already did. So like when you talked about interpreters, like I remember being at a school and there being a number of interpreters that would kind of, follow students from class to class. And it was just a normal thing. And it was not a big deal. Right. And so I'm wondering it in my experience, like for students with autism or students with an intellectual disability, sometimes the idea that a learner belongs in a general education class is a little bit of a reach for some teachers. But I think it has to do with the amount of support that's already baked into the school. So, and I don't know, like, and again, I'm not an expert in this area at all. But it sounds like at least in your school district, or as you are looking at the support that's going to be available for Coop as he goes to school, those mindsets are already kind of baked in, right? So, and they're expecting him to, be in regular classes, and the support's going to be there, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting too. We have five elementary schools, I believe, that feed into the middle and high school. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have them segmented. So like certain, there's one elementary school that's specifically like their deaf and hard of hearing kids. So like, even though we don't live in that zone, he'll go to that school. And then there's other ones where that are more like their behavioral or more their physical. So that's interesting too. I have not really heard of that, but it's more so the staff, you know, is where their specialization is and keeps them from having to kind of bounce around. They have, hit my microphone, sorry. They have more, you know, less of that like travel time, more time to be like with the kids one-on-one when needed type of thing. But yes, he'll be mainstream. He'll be in a regular classroom. I know that's not the case for every single student in this district, just depending on the level of needs that they have. But I know that it's a goal of the district.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What about barriers to inclusion? And I know that you know, Coop isn't in like, you know, the K-12 space, but just what about you and your family? Like, what have you come up against?
I'm trying to honestly think of some because he's just so, like, if you couldn't see the implants on his head, you wouldn't know he was deaf. He does such a good job compensating when he needs to. I would say COVID was hard because he does lip read. I mean, even though he's little, he lip reads. And so masks and like facial expressions were obviously not at the forefront. So that was tough. Otherwise, I mean, we've had like closed captions on our TV basically since he was born, just because it's good for any children and especially deaf and hard of hearing children. And so now my husband and I are so used to that. Like it drives me crazy when we go to like a movie and they're not on there. But I also know that like they have those tools available. Like there's literally a sign at the movie theater that says, you know, ask for whatever. Yeah. And I'm tempted to do that just to experience it. Like next time we go, because I think it's done through a pair of glasses versus like on the screen, which is kind of cool. But we really haven't run into much because people have been accommodating. I think sharing our story, you know, makes the people close to us want to know some sign language. It makes them know that like Cooper likes to look at faces and make eye contact and he's visual. And so I know that that's not going to be the case forever by any means, but we've been very lucky so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also been tempted at the movie theater. It's really, you know, and again, we don't have anyone that's in our family that's deaf or hard of hearing. Although I think my wife would say that I'm hard of hearing because the volume that I put out the TV, and we're very split in our family. So some people just love closed captions and some don't. So it's always a little bit of a like, are we having closed captions this time or not? You know, but typically if I'm by myself, I usually have it on. The other thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if you have AMC theaters, but where you live, but there are options where you can go to a movie with open captions. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. So like you can purchase tickets to a movie at a particular time and they will have the captions on the screen. And I'm like, oh man, that's really cool.
That is, yeah. I'm guessing our theater's just too small to do that, but we do have AMC, so I'm curious. They probably do offer that in the bigger,
yeah,
more closer to the Twin Cities areas.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. But that's good. I'm glad that sharing your story, especially with the people that are close to you, have really, you know, helped them accommodate, you know, Coop and your family. I hope that continues into the school years.
One thing that's been interesting to kind of watch the progression of is captioning on social media. Because I remember even when I jumped on TikTok Reels at the beginning, like it wasn't something that most people included, like myself included, because you had to really like go out of your way to find an app that would do it. And most of them you had to pay for. And so it's been awesome to see not only the apps including that and automating it, but people putting those captions on there because they know that it makes it more accessible, or that people, I mean, me included, I would say 80% of the time that I'm scrolling like Reels or TikTok, I don't have my volume on just because I don't like being overstimulated and I'd rather read. And so that's been really interesting to kind of watch over the last few years.
Yeah. Same thing with like alt text. I feel like Twitter's done a really great job over the last probably couple of years. I don't exactly remember, but it was like, oh, hey, and we can make alt text like super easy. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful, you know? I really feel, especially, you know, in the internet space, social media, things are getting more accessible and, you know, more accepted. Like it's just a normal thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about how you're explaining disability to Coop? Is that something that's important to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've always talked to him about, you know, you're deaf and we're hearing. And so that means that like, you can only hear with your cochlear implants, but mom and dad can always hear, you know, in those like younger kid terms right now. And he does have a grasp on it. It's actually funny because like, he's going through a phase right now where like, he doesn't believe that I actually have a name. He thinks I'm just mom, which is whatever. My husband gets to have a name, but I don't. And so I'll say, no, my name is Beth. And for him, that sounds very similar to deaf. Like he has a hard time distinguishing Beth and deaf. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, no, you're not deaf. You're hearing. And he'll like get really mad. So I've just given up on that. But he definitely understands. I don't know that he knows that it makes him different necessarily. He's just a very, very confident kid in general. Like he just thinks he's pretty cool and rolls with that. And so I'm not really worried. I think he'll see a lot of my advocacy he already has. And I think that just kind of carries into his confidence. But we've always just stuck with being honest about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. So he knows like you are, you know, posting things on social media and like, you know, he knows that there's this out.
Yeah. I mean, as much as four-year-old can know.
Right.
And yeah. Something that's hard to balance too. I mean, it's something I think about as he gets older. I never force him to like be in things or be in videos. It's just, it's hard to balance because a lot of it, like I just share because it makes me smile and it makes other people smile. And, you know, it's hard to know. This is like the first generation of kids that's growing up like social media famous or whatever. And we do get recognized in public and have people, you know, come up and talk to us. And it's something that I'm still learning how to navigate.
Right.
And that I'll obviously continue talking to Cooper about as he gets older. But like I said, this is really the first generation of kids that it's the case with. And I've thought about, you know, is it fair to share his journey at this point? But it's also our story. And I think it's making the world a little bit more friendly, a little more accessible, a little bit easier for him down the line. Because it does start small, you know, if nobody shared and nobody talked about it, what would any of us have to relate to?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a delicate balance. You know, even for, you know, even sharing, you know, your, photos and videos from a family who isn't experiencing, you know, that like the deaf experience. You know, it's just mm-hmm. like, you know, I think about that, you know, sharing with my kids. My kids are, 17. No, sorry. She'll be 17 next month. 16, 13, and 10, you know, and they're, you know, like, well, usually with my teenagers, you know, it's just like, hey, this is what I'm sharing.
Yeah.
You know, is that okay? And they're like, yes or no. You know, although my 10-year-old is like, she just likes being on the socials. She doesn't have any, she doesn't have a, an account or anything, but she likes the feedback. So, tell us about your book, or books. Is it just one? Is it one or is it multiple?
Technically multiple. So my first one, I self-published, and it's mostly geared towards parents of children with hearing loss or who are deaf. Just kind of details navigating this journey. It's really covers the first year, and that one's called Hello Holland. It's kind of, it's a nod to the poem Welcome to Holland, right, which is really, yeah. And so that one, it just kind of is my little book. The big one, the one that's, you know, been a really big project the last year and a half, almost 2 years, is a children's book called The ABCs of Inclusion. And the idea, you know, to write a kid's book was always kind of in my head, but I didn't want to write one that was super specific to being deaf and hard of hearing, because yes, there's families that follow me that fall into that, but it's so specific. And I wanted to be able to kind of appeal to a bigger audience. And I had realized, you know, along the way that we've gained over a million followers across platforms type of thing. And I know that it's a lot of parents just of children with special needs or varying needs in general. And so I got to thinking, like, well, you know what, like, what if we actually base the book off these kids? And so it's called The ABCs of Inclusion. Each letter of the alphabet is a child's name based on a real child. So that was important to me, to put that kind of person first language versus like using the diagnosis as the letter. So like C is for Cooper. And then it talks about being deaf and having cochlear implants. And it's all like in a very kid-friendly way. Mm-hmm. And so every child has a different diagnosis. They're all based on real kids. So, I mean, there's, you know, anxiety, OCD, cerebral palsy, diabetes, like it's a really wide array. And it was hard because some of them are just really complex topics and big words that you can't avoid. And so to bring it down to like a short, succinct kid level page was tough. Sure. But
yeah.
It's been a labor of love. So it came out in March, and yeah, it's currently sold out, which is mind blowing. So we're waiting on the next print run, and I hope it kind of keeps making it into the hands of people and schools and libraries. And
is this also self-published, or did you go through a publisher?
Independent publisher. So for people who don't really know the publishing world, there's self-publishing, independent publishing, and like traditional publishing. So independent publishing is where the author really like funds the majority of it, but works with that publisher, for those resources. And so they've been amazing. I worked with a Twin Cities publisher for that.
Oh, wonderful. And so how has the book been received? I understand it's sold out, but like what kind of feedback are you getting from it?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it was all positive, because there's always going to be people who don't like the way something is worded or don't like that something was included and something wasn't. I've gotten, you know, a handful of people who don't think I did it right, or did it for the wrong reasons, which that's honestly been hard to like come to grips with and read that kind of stuff, because it's like, I know my heart and I know where my heart was in writing it. So it's just hard to like see that people can think that's not the case. But yeah, overall, it's been really fun. I love seeing parents send me videos sometimes of like, you know, they'll have read the book and then later their kid is talking about something and like relates it back. And that's what I love seeing. Like, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. I think a little bit of like the negative feedback maybe came from, I'm always careful about how I talk about this too. I know for somebody, it was like lack of diversity on the cover, like when it came to the kids, which that was something I really had to balance too, was like, you know, I wanted a variety of diagnoses, but I also needed, you know, to make sure that I represented a variety of races, a variety of locations across the world. Like, it was something that was really hard to put all those puzzle pieces together, mm-hmm. and something that I worked hard on. So like that type of feedback too is hard because it was something that I had in mind. And then I know we probably will touch on this regardless, but the next version that's coming out has a few small tweaks. I would say the biggest one is probably just I changed a little bit of the language on the autism page because mm-hmm. as I read it, I was just like, it just didn't feel as cohesive as some of the other pages. It didn't feel like it really covered the fact that autism can be so different for different people. And so I know there's a lot of back and forth in the autism community too over saying like somebody has autism versus is autistic. And so mm-hmm. that's something where I think I'm not really gonna win because it's like saying I'm an alcoholic versus I'm a person with a substance use disorder. Like some people are just gonna prefer one and some are gonna prefer the other. And so that's the majority. Yeah. But otherwise I've had amazing feedback and it's really all I could have hoped for. I mean, it's sold out. So obviously people are enjoying it.
Right. And beyond the book, what else do you have planned? Like, are you going to do more books or are you just going to keep like, what's the, like, do you have a goal?
I don't know. I do a lot of things as we kind of touched on, and I feel like they all kind of play into each other. So my full-time job is website design. I also own my own photography business. So those two things are kind of always moving. Then I have the book, obviously. I have like the social media. It's been nice to just kind of be in this part of the publishing process where I feel like I can breathe. Like I didn't realize how insane it was for a couple months leading up to the launch and everything. I would like to say, you know, that there's probably a second book, but I also think I just need a breather for a while.
Yeah. Just live life, you know?
Yeah. And if I were to publish again, I would probably look for a traditional publisher solely for the financial reason. It's just a lot of investment upfront. And the fact that this one's been so successful makes me confident that I could probably get into a traditional publishing house for a second one. And I just, quite honestly, it's something I haven't had like the time or energy to really dive into yet. So
yeah.
We're just going to ride this one out for a while and see what happens.
Yeah. So the book is called The ABCs of Inclusion. I'm wondering like, what about like inclusion? What drew you to that particular word? You know, cause there's like, you know, disability awareness, right? How is that different from what you're trying to portray in the book?
I think inclusion is, something more widely accepted as a term as a whole. I mean, I don't know very many people who set out to say like, I don't want to be inclusive. I've run into, and this again is specific to the deaf community. There's people mm-hmm. who say, yes, being deaf is a disability. It makes things harder. It makes me need certain accommodations. There's other people who adamantly say it's not. And that's because there's a lot, you know, and this is me as a hearing individual with what I've learned, but there's a lot of pride in the deaf community and in being deaf and having American Sign Language. And they don't view it as a disability. And so that's that, both that and special needs are terms that like I've had to try and figure out where to use and what's appropriate. And so disability, I feel like just invites a lot more controversy to an extent, which is never really like what I set out to engage in. Education, yes, but like controversy for the sake of controversy, no.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all have a lot to learn, right? You know, something that I've learned interacting and speaking with and disabled advocates is that disability isn't necessarily a bad word, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I definitely empathize with your... when you put things out in the world, you know, there's just some people who are not going to like it. you know, and not like how you say things. But I think that if we come at any situation with an open heart and mind, and a willingness to learn from other people and from other perspectives, I think that's the best we can do. And then you know, do better, right? Like what you said on TikTok when you were talking about the changes to the book, you know, it's okay to make changes. It's okay to change your mind. When you know better, you do better, right?
And so, yeah, you don't know what you don't know to an extent. And it's like, yes, obviously I researched everything in that book, but I'm not an expert on 26 plus different diagnoses. Like, I can't say probably even most doctors are an expert on that many things. And so that's something where it's like, you know, if people have feedback and if they present it in like a respectful way, I'm more than happy to engage and discuss. I just don't have any interest in engaging when it's approached very brashly.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah.
Which can be said for many things.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that. Yeah, that's with anything, really.
Yeah.
I've rarely changed my mind because someone has shamed me.
Yes. And I'm very much a recovering people pleaser. Like, you know, before, I would say even a couple of years ago, like I probably would have tried more than I try now to make everybody happy. And I think being in the position that I'm in now, that's just, I know that it's not going to happen. Being a parent has honestly given me a lot more confidence and backbone and ability to not only stand up for myself, but for my child. And so I think that that plays into it too. I mean, like I said, I'm confident in the decisions that we made, which in turn makes it easier to kind of navigate those situations online.
Yeah. We mostly have educators who listen to the podcast. We do have some families that have children with disabilities and of course some disabled advocates. Anything else you want to make sure that they take away from this conversation?
Oh, I think like parent wise, people always are like, you know, you're so lucky to have the team that you have or the doctors that you have. We didn't have that exact team when we started. Like I had certain feelings and issues maybe, and I changed things. And I think some parents are just like, you know, that this is the team we were given. And I think they don't realize, you know, you can say, I don't like this approach. You can look for other options. And yeah, maybe sometimes there aren't any, but a lot of times there also are. So that's one of the biggest things. I mean, I credit the team around us for so much of not only my knowledge and my passion about this, but just Cooper's success too. And as far as, yeah, education wise, I mean, the fact that, again, our team has been so passionate and so, I know they have other students, but I feel like they are so invested in Cooper. And as a parent, that means the world. You want to know that your kid's in good hands and is cared about as an individual. And get updates, you know, apart from like the ones that are set in stone. And so I think just going out of your way with the tiniest things, like some of his teachers will text me after school, like he's been in like early childhood, you know, this past year, and be like, today he took a deep breath and calmed down and shared with his friend. And like, you know, just those moments are like, a lot of times they'll text me and say he wanted a hearing break. That's what we call it when he takes his ears off. So, you know, we went out in the hall, we walked around for 10 minutes, and it's like, just knowing those little things makes me feel so good about where he's at, especially as a working parent who's not involved in all of those little day-to-day things. So I think it's just, you know, not underestimating the power of that kind of small check-in.
I think that's really great advice, to, you know, if things aren't going the way that you want them to, you know, it's okay to say that, yeah. You know, and to look for, solutions. And sometimes that is, you know, finding additional or alternative team members, right? Mm-hmm. And then the communication is so key between educators and family members. I think that sometimes that doesn't always happen, and we need to make sure that that happens more frequently and it's emphasized.
Right after this break, the mystery question.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, so the mystery question. So I have a stack of question cards that I got from Poddex.
Okay.
It's completely random. I'll pick a card, say the question, and then we'll both answer it. Does that sound fun? It could be on anything.
For a control freak, no, but but I'll do it.
All right. It's good. So far, it hasn't been anything too like controversial. So, okay. All right. Okay, so what gives you butterflies in your stomach?
Ooh, good words. When people are good at writing and can take experiences and make you feel like you've been in them and like it hit you in the heart as much as it did them, uh-huh. Even when it's so far removed, like maybe it's somebody across the world. I literally will get like physical goosebumps a lot of times when I read things, and I just love that feeling.
Oh, nice. Well, for me, I say that I'm afraid of heights, but it's more like a fear of falling. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I remember, my son is 13 and like we play video games, and we play this game called, Jedi Fallen Order. And so you just, control a person and you're like jumping around and stuff. And this is a video game. Okay. But like jumping from like one ledge to like something else.
Yeah.
Like I feel it in my stomach and like, there's no rational, like I'm completely safe. Everything is fine. But for some reason that just gives me so it's funny that you interpret it as like a positive thing and I interpret it as like a negative thing, which is fine, because it's a question, but
I'm just a deep feeler. So there's plenty of negative things that also will make my stomach turn, but like, I also feel the good things deeply. So it's,
that's great. And the, what you described, I think it's like, I've definitely felt that. It's like this deep connection with the world. You know, mm-hmm. like whether it's a movie or something you read or a conversation, and you're just like, that was beautiful, you know? Yeah. So I definitely want to acknowledge that night.
And there's other days where it's like that was heavy, or that was, you know, and you kind of carry the weight of other people too. So I always say it's like a double-edged sword to be somebody who can like feel that much. Cause some days I'm just like, the world sucks and everybody is not happy. And that makes me not happy.
Right. You
know, it's a hard thing.
But. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. The world sucks.
No, thank you for engaging with me on that. The mystery question. Beth Leipholz, thank you so much for spending some time with us on Think Inclusive. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
That chime means it's free time. If you've listened this far into the episode, thank you. It probably means one of two things. One, that you're a longtime listener, and perhaps you've listened to most of our episodes. So you are amazing, and we would not be where we are now without you. Or maybe you're a new listener, and you enjoyed the guest. Or maybe even the segments that we have in this episode, like the mystery question or free time. Either way, I would love your feedback. I know it's only February, but we are planning season 12 of Think Inclusive, which will come out probably sometime in September. And I really want these episodes to be useful to you, whether you're an educator, a parent of a child with a disability, a family member, an advocate, or just someone who wants to see inclusive education move forward in our schools in the United States and beyond. So if there's a topic that you'd love for us to cover, let me know. You can email me at tvillegas@mcie.org. That's T-V as in Victor, I-L-L-E-G-A-S at mcie.org. And I don't mind getting email. Actually, I love it because it lets me know that people are listening. And so maybe you've been listening for years and you've never reached out. Please do, and let me know your thoughts. That's it for this episode of Think Inclusive. Are you ready to move forward with inclusive educational practices in your school or district? Come and partner with us. We don't just work in Maryland. We have partners across the country, including Illinois, Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and guess what? There's more to come. We'd love to partner with you. Our work begins with a conversation. So reach out on our website, mcie.org, and let's talk. Think Inclusive is written, edited, sound designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Villegas. And it's a pleasure to do so. I just love making podcasts. It is a production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. That's MELOD.IE. This episode has been sponsored by Bookshare, which is 100% free. So please check it out, bookshare.org. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works.
CIE.